This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Kevin Casey. Dr. Casey is the president of Rochester General Hospital, part of the Rochester Regional System. He's going to talk to us today about leadership, his career, top priorities, and a little bit more. Dr. Casey, you take a moment to introduce yourself.
Thank you very much for having me, Scott. Kevin Casey. I'm a gastroenterologist by training and still do about 20% clinical time as a gastroenterologist. I've been president of Rochester General for a little over 2 years now. We are a 528-bed tertiary quaternary referral hospital for Rochester Regional Health and the region. We are in the process of opening up a new critical care tower, which incredibly exciting time on our campus. We opened up 20 new operating rooms, new post-anesthesia care unit, sterile processing, that was about 3 weeks ago. A week later, we opened up a 18-bed postpartum unit in a level 2 NICU. And we are opening up a variable acuity medical intensive care unit and step-down unit next week before we open up our oncology floor and surgical intensive care unit, rolling those out between now and about mid-December that all that's happening.
And take a moment. So you're a gastroenterologist. You're sort of a throwback in that you're a leader that's also doing some clinical work. And while that was so common 10, 20 years ago, now once people turn the transom to leading over, especially a large medical system like you, you're usually not doing both. So the question I have for you is, when you go in to do colonoscopies or go to see patients, does the entire unit sort of change chemistry one bit because they're like, well, there's Dr. Casey, who was just a gastroenterologist with the rest of these guys for a long time, but now he's also president of the hospital. So does everybody sort of get a little bit more on their best behavior on those days that you come in, or not so much so?
I don't think so. I've been here a long time. I've known the people here that I work with. It does give me special access to what's going on with people and their concerns. And I think it gives me the ability to have a different kind of insight into our healthcare system because I do still do clinical work.
And talk about that for the moment. Because in the old days, and not very long ago, this was the model of physician leadership, where a physician was a leader and also still a physician. And the thought was very much so that that person still had much better insight into what was really going on, because he or she was straddling both roles. And talk about whether that's become increasingly difficult or still something that you could manage and make happen.
It only works for me because I have a great team of leaders who work for me. I have my chief nursing officer, chief operating officer are absolutely great leaders for me, chief medical officer. It's the fact that when I'm doing clinical that I can trust that they are able to handle the acute issues that arise, and that we have a great communication system between all of us that makes it such that when I am doing clinical, I can concentrate on what I'm doing and know that those things are being handled by folks. I think the value that it gives is that I can much better relate to the clinical challenges, much better relate to the administrative challenges that our providers have, from physicians, APPs, nurse practitioners, nurses. It keeps me close to the work that they do, and that has value for me, not merely from the clinical work and understanding their challenges that they have on a daily basis, in the work that they do. It also keeps me close to the quality work as well, and realizing the challenges that exist every day for all of them.
And take a moment on Rochester General, a few points of pride in the hospital.
This is a hospital that goes back to the late 1800s in its age. Or mid 1800s. It was a hospital founded after the Civil War to take care of Union soldiers. It is on its present location. It has been here about 60 years. Hospital is a health grades top 100 hospital, top 50 hospital for the last 2 years. Is a hospital that takes care of this community and is part of this community. And the people who work here take pride in that and take pride in the care that they deliver for our community. It has been one of the top 20 busiest emergency rooms in the past and still is. Have an incredibly busy emergency room. We deliver care for the entire community, from the urban poor to the patients that come to us from the suburbs. It is truly the tertiary quaternary referral center for our healthcare system. We have strength in our cardiac neurology programs, bariatric surgery, oncology. It really is a incredible place, and the uniqueness of it, I think, for other places that I've worked, is how much people are willing to help each other. And if there's a patient that's truly sick, no matter what hour of the day, people are there to help and make sure that that patient gets the care that they need.
And take a moment, right? I see online, founded in 1847, which seems like a very, very long time ago. Talk for a moment about your career. We see so many specialists, great, great physicians that become great leaders of health systems. Some of the great systems in the country, Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic, have long traditions of physicians being leaders of their systems, and a whole lot more. And we see it a lot. We also see great nurse leaders of systems today. Of the physician leaders that I see, I would say it's less usual that we've got a gastroenterologist who ends up deciding to move off the gastroenterology track, probably because it's a very popular specialty, people love it, they do well, all kinds of reasons, and move into leadership. Talk a little bit about your path from being a GI doctor, no doubt a very productive one and a highly respected one, into leadership. What was that journey and transition like for you?
Scott, it's one of those strange stories. I actually had not pursued leadership while my kids were home, and I was asked to be to run for president of our medical staff, and my kids were out of the house, and I in college and had moved out of town. And at that point, I elected to do that, was elected president of the medical staff by my colleagues. I was in the process of completing what is a 6-year term as president-elect, president, past president, and was asked by the CEO of our healthcare system, Dr. Eric Bieber, to assume presidency of Rochester General. I was on vacation at the time. Dr. Bieber called me, asked me to become president of the hospital. He and I both agreed that there was an audible gasp and a comment on my part that I didn't know anything about leading a hospital. And Eric reassured me that he thought I was a quick learn. And that, as I say, was a little over 2 years ago. I am in the master's in healthcare management program at Harvard right now, and we'll be finishing that this spring, which has been a great program for my leadership growth. But I've been through a joint commission survey. I've been through a magnet recertification. I've been through the opening of a $250 million building now. I have been through a wave one and start of a wave two now of a pandemic. There's a lot of leadership that I've learned from the people that I've worked with, and have worked with some really fabulous folks. And the other part of it is I work for the people who work in this building, and I have a lot of faith in them. I have a lot of pride in them, and that's what makes it much easier for me to do the job that I do. And knowing them and making sure that I'm honest with them, whether that's good news or bad news, that they know that I truly care about them, has been what has made this job much, much easier for me.
Let me ask you a question about this. You had mentioned you were on vacation when you were called to see if you would be willing to become president of the medical center. In terms of the impact on the rest of that vacation, did that put at what point during that vacation did you mentally turn the corner and say, oh, I'm okay, this is going to be good, this is going to be a good thing, versus did it put a pall over the whole vacation?
I don't think it put a pall over it. There were a lot of questions I needed to answer for myself, because moving from what was about 90% clinical time to as a therapeutic endoscopist, how I really defined myself a lot based on my clinical identity, to moving to something that was that had a lot of uncertainties associated with it. I was out skiing in Utah at the time, and I think the first three nights after that phone call, I didn't sleep very much. One of the reasons I've always enjoyed skiing was because it can distract me from a lot of the demands that occur in everything I do. And so it was probably good that I was able to ski and distract myself. But it took about 3 days before my sleep came back, and I was comfortable with the decision that I was going to make, and knew that I was going to be surrounded by the people that were going to help me be able to do this and be effective in my role.
In terms of the important questions, the skiing in Utah, with snowboarders at Park City or without snowboarders at Deer Valley? Usually the big question.
Alta without snowboarders.
Oh, so that's real skiing. That's hard skiing. I wouldn't be able to handle that. That's a different thing. The next question for you is advice for leaders. You've gone back and do learning. I would tease you about mentioning Harvard and bringing in the Harvard master's degree as part of that discussion about learning, but my friends accuse me of that sometimes as well, so I'll try and avoid teasing you about that. But let me ask you this question. Three pieces of advice that you would give to emerging leaders. And you were thrown into the sort of pool of leadership, both running the medical group at one point, the chief of the medical staff, 6-year term, but then really making this big decision in life to give up part of your clinical practice, become leader of the hospital. What advice would you give to emerging leaders?
It's critical to be yourself. And that goes to being honest to yourself and to honest to the people that you talk to. You lose your identity if you're not truthful to the people that you are representing, the people that you speak to every day. listening. Always listen more, talk less. Hamilton's rule should come back to you. And it's tough for physicians to be leaders. And I think one of the things that I learned at Harvard was all the reasons why physicians suffer as leaders. Physicians are trained to solve problems themselves. They are trained not to work in groups to solve those problems. They're trained, if they don't have the answer, to learn the answer and apply the answer. And they're trained to be the expert. And most of those things work against you as a good leader. You need to defer to expertise. You need to acknowledge that you don't know the most in the room. You need to take advantage of what you need to learn and learn as much as you can from those around you. And you need to work well in groups. I think physicians are particularly not prepared for being good operators. And that's one of the big challenges I think the physicians experience as a leader, is really understanding what it means to be an operator. I keep talking about how much I've learned from people around me. I think I learned this. I used to say in medicine that there were two time periods as a physician that you ever learned in an exponential logarithmic method. And it was when you were 2 years old, and the other was when you were an intern. And certainly in the first year in this job, I felt like I had that same kind of logarithmic learning again. But I think it really is very much about being honest, continuing to learn by listening, and letting those people around you teach you, and make sure that you gather all the information that you can, and don't be afraid to ask for help.
Let me just ask you to quickly summarize those three pieces in 30 seconds for anybody that's taking notes on the podcast.
Be honest, be truthful. Always, always tell the truth. Listen first. Don't talk first, listen first. Defer to expertise. You are the person who puts it together as a leader. And if you don't do those three things, you'll get it wrong more than you get it right.
Fantastic. Dr. Casey, what a great pleasure to visit with you today and hear about Rochester General. And what a magnificent career and evolution in straddling of professions. Just magnificent. Wish you and Rochester General continued good luck. And what a fascinating time to become president of a hospital over the last couple of years. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Scott. Good to talk to you.